It's called kingdom invasion. Biblically, it's when the King of Glory comes in. It's when the King of Glory steps in. It's when he decides to do what he needs to do for whoever he needs to do it for. It's the King of Glory. And for some of you, you may not be accustomed to an environment like this. But it's in a space like this that God steps in to do what only he can do. And for some of you, this is not your moment. But you have the auspicious pleasure of witnessing somebody else's moment. God graced you enough to witness somebody else's moment breakthrough. So this is strange. I'm not used to this. You better get accustomed to it. You better get used to it. Because when God walks the earth, miracle signs and wonders. Miracle signs and wonders. You better get used to it. When the King of Glory steps in, you never know. For those who are yielded to the presence of God, you never know when God's going to step in. You may be at the grocery store. You may be at the post office. You may be at the hospital visiting a sick person, and the King of Glory comes in and rests upon your life. And miracle signs. Life is a miracle signs and wonders. Father, now, if you don't want to be ran over by a miracle sign and wonder to stop here, I think they miss that. They run after you. They follow you. It follows those who believe. And if you don't want to be used of God, then stop believing. Because everywhere your foot treads, miracle signs and wonders come right behind. Oh, the youth in the school, miracle signs and wonders. In the hallway, on the field, in the corridor, miracle signs and wonders. In the prison, for your prison guards, miracle signs and wonders. Don't follow me. It follows those who believe. So get used to it. God's cultivating you right now in this moment so that you can get accustomed to a move of God. Now the question is, do you really want to move of God? Because a lot of people say, oh, God, I want you to move. But do you really want to move? Do you really want a move of God? Then yield yourself to a move and watch God use you. Now you think, you know, it's just for the preacher. It's just for the pastor, the prophet, the bishop, the head deacons. Hear me, beloved. I have to encourage you today. God is no respecter of persons. He is no respecter of persons. God places purpose over persons. God places purpose over persons, over people. What are you saying? Watch this. His purpose shall be fulfilled regardless of who is being fulfilled. Okay. Let me make sure we got people made. You could have just gotten off the strip pole. You could have just came out of the crack house. You could have came out of the bed of defilement, but God says, my purpose must fail over the person. And if I need you to do what I need you to do, then I'll rest my glory upon you in the timeline. If you don't believe me, ask Peter. A ear cutter and a cusser. And God's good news. He places his purpose over the person So for you today, we're feeling you're inadequate. You're not worthy. You've done too much. You have not done enough for God. Even here at this time, why is it for you to commit to continue in sin? It's not an approval for you to keep being the way that you are. But God says, listen, right where you are right now, I don't care what you've done. I don't care what you said, I don't care your thoughts in this moment. I have a purpose that needs to be fulfilled. And I place you in that family, on that job, in that city. Regardless of how jacked up they are, how messed up your family is, God said, I place you right in the mess up in the midst of them so that my purpose can be fulfilled. God, you don't know what I've done. Oh, I know what you've done, I know what you don't do. I still want to use you. Let me take an apostolic approach to this text. Ephesians says he has given some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, and some teachers. If you've been around this place anytime, you've heard me say this. It is not a position. It's a gift. It's not a title. It's a gift. And he's a good father that gives gifts freely. So watch, when Jesus ascended, he first descended before he ascended. And when he did, he left gifts to the body. Okay, let me heal you. He left gifts to the body. If y'all would be bold, put your head back and say, I'm part of the body. Watch what he did. Watch. He left gifts to the body. And the gifts were apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. He gave some. You have been taught some in quantity. Oh, we only have a few apostles. There's only a few prophets. No, he didn't give them some of the quantity. In the number thereof, 5 prophets, 20 evangelists. No. Watch. He gave some of the gift to each one of you. So watch. It's not a few good ladies. It's some of us. Some prophets. Some evangelists. Some pastors. And some teachers. To your family, he has given some apostles, some evangelists, some prophets. What? So watch, all of the 5 gifts he has given to each of us. But he has given it in a measure. So inside of you, you have a measure of each. That's why you'll find yourself at times where people are calling you and you're passing them off, but you ain't no pastor. You'll find yourself teaching folk, and you ain't, I know I ain't in for all you educators, but you ain't no teacher. You'll find yourself prophesying, but you ain't a prophet. Watch, because God says, I have a purpose that needs to happen. And you're the only willing, available person. Because I touched her and she wasn't ready. I touched her and she had something to do. I touched him and he said, I got to go to work. And I touched him over there and he said that, you know, I'm busy right now. I ain't got time. God, why are you troubling me? And God says, well, you can't find me. I need one to fulfill this purpose at this moment. I need a prophet at this moment to prophesy to the one who is losing heart, one who is growing faint in faith. I need a prophet. Come on, it's possible. But I ain't no prophet. Get up. Go forth. And you'll be in the grocery store prophesying. And you may not ever prophesy again. But he needed you in that moment. Because some of which he needed was inside of you.
Amen.
Okay, let me give you, because y'all look at me strange. Let me give you biblical context to that. Saul, after being anointed to be king, ran into a group of prophets and prophesied. And never prophesied again after that. Because God needed him in that moment to speak a word. So there's some of all of the grace of the gifts of God on the inside of you. You got to know that. Because God wants to use you. He don't just, you know, y'all sit down. I'm getting nervous. I found my knife, y'all. I'm not speaking. It's God. Amen. Amen.
I want to see you back, TJ.
Now, watch. I'm just focused on the glory of God. I'm going to let you go. But watch. It's on the inside of you. It's on the inside of you. It's on the inside of you. God says that He has given grace. If you study Ephesians, He talks about this grace. A measure of grace. And some of you operate on a higher level of that grace in one of those five giftings than others. You'll have that grace to move and to flow in one of those gifts more often than the next. You know, when you got the grace, the apostolic grace in your life, with the prophetic foundation, and you'll find yourself flowing. That's the greater grace on your life. But then you'll find yourself evangelizing. There's a grace on your life to operate in these five old arenas. But there's a greater grace in one of the areas that's higher than the next. You'll find yourself doing more of this than that. Because that's what God graces you for. It's not a title. Listen, it says not a title. Taking is not a position. Tell him it's purpose. That's what this platform is. It's purpose. It's purpose. It's purpose. Now, well, apostle, you know, what about the title? Because they call you apostle. I thought you said, what a title? Watch. You know what titles are? Titles are the definition of the duties of the thing. I don't need a title. I'm just a child of God. You just gave yourself a title. So what's the function or the duties or the definition of that? So how is a child of God supposed to live? On walking down. So if you're saying you're a child of God, you gave yourself a title. Well, what's the definition of that? What's the definition of a child of God? One who walks in the ways of Christ. So if you're going to call yourself a child of God, then the definition is the way you live.
Glory to God.
So you got to live out the title. Because if you don't live out the title, then you don't deserve the title. Because what the title does also is it holds you accountable and responsible to the functions and the duty of the title. So if you're not accountable and if you're not responsible, then we've got to take the title. But I won't know how to judge you unless you have the title. I won't know how to hold you accountable and responsible for your actions without the title that defines who you are. So watch. The day I stop operating and functioning in the apostolic office, then I'm no longer an apostle. When I begin to walk contrary to the title, you can look and say, well, what's the role of an apostle? What are the duties and the functions and the responsibilities of an apostle? Well, you didn't do this, 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 and this. So you are not an apostle. What are the duties and the roles and the functions of a prophet? You got the title. Well, here's the definition, and here's the functions, the duties, the responsibilities that I'm going to hold you accountable to. And if you don't do these things,
and I will honor you as such. Are y'all understanding? Are y'all hearing me? So that's why these gifts is not entitled. Because at times you won't function or operate these things. That's why you prophesy, but you won't be a prophet. Because we can't hold you responsible outside of that. But when you have the title. Are y'all understanding? That's why y'all running from these titles. Because the reality is you don't want to be able to count. Listen, I ain't scared. Like some of y'all don't want to be called a pastor because you don't want to be held accountable to pastorship and duties. Don't call me that. Don't call me. I'm just a child of God. I'm the saint of the Most High. Guess what? You're still being held accountable to that. And then here's the biblical context again. You can judge a tree by the fruit
that it bears.
So I can't look at an apple tree and call it oranges. I see the fruit that it bears. So I judge it by the fruit that it bears. So for all of us Christian folk in here, we're your fruit. I'm going to really step on your toe right now. I can't say it, I just say ouch. Because the scripture says every seed should bear of its own kind. Jesus, right? So watch this. If you are a Christian, then you should bear Christian fruit. If you are a believer, then you should bear other believers. Ask you to look where you're from. Now, listen. Don't look at the strange fruit next to you. Because some of y'all are not fruitful with your fruit. Oh, I'm talking about you. Yeah, you come to church, you shout and dance on Sunday. But you can't produce no fruit on Monday. This isn't Sunday night. Sunday afternoon at the church. In the parking lot. All the way home. At your house. Can't produce no fruit. Because watch this. Just the life you live should bear fruit. You should not even have a t-shirt on and say, I love Jesus. And you still produce Jesus lovers. You don't even have to walk around with a Bible in your hand to produce other Bible believers. Why? Because the word should be written, or it is written and etched on your heart. I just got saved. I don't know what three scriptures used to read that. Hello. I just know John 3:16. Well, use John 3:16. Just use what you have. He told Moses at the Red Sea, he said, Moses, what's in your hand? I see the obstacle before you and behind you, but what do you have for deliverance? So I come to encourage somebody today, if you got one scripture, what's in your hand that'll bring forth deliverance in the future? What's in your heart that you can speak for, that you can see the captive set for? Well, you know, I don't know. You know, Matthew 6:33, you know, see, you know, yeah. Use that. Amen. Some of y'all Facebook preachers anyway. Yeah. But can you witness 101? Can you evangelize a loss at any moment? The Bible says be ready in season and out of season. You never know when God's going to come to you. You never know when he's going to come to you. You got to be ready. Watch this. to produce fruit. Because through that fruit you produce, that's how righteousness now, God be glorified.
Amen.
That's how it's going to be glorified. Because when they look at your life and say, oh my God, you bear the glory of God, God says, I'll be glorified. When they come running, tugging on your coattails, and I have a whole message for y'all, but I just feel led to tell somebody today, because Paul told Timothy, do the work of the evangelist.
Hallelujah.
And we're in perilous times that are coming ahead of us. There is darkness looming on the horizon that is waiting to loom over us. And if we're not ready to be light in darkness, then we're going to be consumed by the darkness. If we're not ready to be set on a fire, ablaze for the kingdom of God, then the fire will be quenched. And you got to be ready. You got to be ready. What are you going to do when the soldiers march the streets? What are you going to do when martial law is set in place? Martial law. What are you going to do when they come into your cubicle at your workspace and every religious artifact that you have on your desk will be removed? What are you going to do at the door when the security guard? When they come and they take your Bibles before you enter the building? What are you going to do when they take your phone and search your phone and all the apps that you have that mention the name of Jesus be removed? I'm going to be prophetic flow now because it's coming. What are you going to do? What are you going to do when your Facebook page get tagged and walk as a believer? What are you going to do when the hate mail begins to fill your email mailbox? What are you going to do? Are you going to stand for the kingdom? What are you going to do? I tell you, when you be helpful, what you need, this is what you do. You trust God.
Amen.
You trust God. For God I live. For God I die. Paul said, I don't know what's best. For me to go on and be with you, or to stay here with these stiff-necked people. I don't want you. What are you going to do? Ask me, what are you going to do? Israel, we trust God that He would use us to be the catalyst to see revival come forth in the land. So you wake up in the morning and say, God, I trust you to use me as a vessel to strike revival in the land. Use me. Matter of fact, be bold enough tomorrow morning when you wake up, before you say anything to anyone, say to God, God, I trust you that you're going to use me to be a vessel to see the Bible break out in the land. When you wake up, God, today, choose me. Today, God, use me as a hammer that will smash the work of evil. Use me today. Use me. Use me. Use me. Use me. Use me. Use me. Now watch. Don't flake out on God. Because when the door opens for Him to use you, don't take the out button. That's just a thing. You know y'all can do that. God, is that you, God, or is that the devil? That's the devil. Go bless that person with me, or that's the devil. Don't flake out on God. Don't flake out on God. Don't flake out on God. I was in the grocery store just last night. And while I was in the grocery store, there was a lady who works there for a lot of the houses in Germany Road. And every now and then, the Holy Spirit would say, bless her. Now, this woman is a cusser. Don't laugh at some of y'all cusses too. And every now and then, the Lord said, just bless her with a tear. And so, for probably about the last 3 months, I would go in. I would just sow into her life. Just last night, I go in, and while she's at the register, she's praying for somebody. I didn't hear not one cuss word out of her. Now watch. She don't even know I'm a preacher. But because of the goodness of God being shown to her on a regular basis, because the glory and the anointing, it spills over. Amen. And she ended up praying. Then she looks back at me and she said, that's the God that always give me when I love you. I said, I love you, Jesus. You better be ready. But watch this, the seeds you sow now will be the harvest you need. That's why you're going to put seed in the ground now. When the preacher's talking about money, no, I'm talking about souls. You better put them in the ground now. Revelation says that one day we're going to stand at the great white throne. It's called the Bema, the seat of judgment. It's going to be a place where God judges. Watch this, not the unrighteous, but the righteous. It's going to be the place where God comes and he opens up your treasury and he's going to look and see what you have deposited in heaven, not here on earth. He's going to see what earthly treasures you have deposited. He's going to look at it and he's going to say, oh, wow, you have 1,000 souls of credit to your account. Oh, wow, you have healings at your hands. He's going to look at the record. Going to judge you based off of that. Not for damnation. It's going to judge you off of the works that you perform in his name's name. And watch this. This is where the 24 elders, they had to come before the throne and present their work. The Bible says when they got their crowns, they cast them at his feet. Hallelujah. It's going to be at this throne. God's going to look and say, oh, you deserve 14 crowns. You deserve, ma'am, 100 crowns. You're a faithful servant. Well, watch this. It's not going to be in the crowns that's going to be your delight. But some of you are working for the reward. I'm not working to get to him. I'm working to feel him. So when I get there, the crowns will be like, oh, God, thank you for the crown, but thank you more so for your presence. The 24 elders cast their crowns at his feet. You know why? Because it wasn't the reward, it was my presence that they were seeking more so. I know some of you came for a message that's going to cause you to jump over the chairs and turn over the pews and all that, but this is the message you need to hear today. What shall we next do? We'll break out. Tell you think it's time to do it. Jesus, man. Come on, clap your hands on the Lord. I say he's still working on you, but he finished. It has purpose. Touch your mind and pray for you and give you life. Amen. Amen. Come on, if you have your communion elements, you did not receive one upon your entry, lift your hand. I want to make sure everyone has their communion elements. Okay. If you don't have one, hold your hand in your hand.
make sure all of our servant leaders and investors have their community. Communion truly is a special time to use the community to communicate. Greek word, koinonia. Koinonia. It means intimacy. And communion is an intimate moment with God. We get to sup with Him, fellowship in this moment. Have you ever served? Any clergy, ministers, if you have not received, I want to serve you personally. Hallelujah. Have you received? Amen. Let's just give it to you. Hallelujah. You've been served? You've been? Who served you? You did? Amen. Praise God. Thank you. I want to serve you. Put those on the cat. I'm sorry. Yeah. Sent to you.
Follow.
Amen. See, now hear this. Let me frame this thing up, because I know, especially at this church, we come from many walks of life, many denominations and whatnot gathered. And that's what Elevated Church is. It's a place where you believe, belong, become. A place where believers gather together. A place where you should feel like you belong. So that you can become all that God has created you to be. And because we're from different, from some of you Baptists, some Methodists, some Presbyterian, some Catholic folk, some Black. Somebody said, well, I want to take communion first and third, you know, Sundays of the month, or first Sunday, whatever. You know, some of you probably went to another church, came to this, we had communion this morning. So, well, I already took communion. I don't need communion. I already took it. Can I tell you biblical context of that? Jesus said, do this as often in remembrance of me. What is saying, apostle? It's not a designated date or time. It's not a designated number of times. He said, do it often. How often is often? Do it often in remembrance of me. So watch. You have to have a remembrance, a recollection every time you take it. That's the power of the communion. It's not the wafer and the juice. It's in the power of that. No, this has no power. You know what the power is? Remembering Him when you take it. So how do you remember Christ? What is your recollection of Him? So, Christ, I remember you as a healer. Yeah. By your stripes, we were healed. I remember you as a deliverer. You came and you set the captive free. I remember you as a provider. You are Jehovah Jireh. So every time I take it, I'm in remembrance of who God is and what He is. So, I take it with that remembrance, that recollection of that. So what I'm saying to you today, when you go home, if you have sickness in your body, grab some bread, some juice, some crackers. And if you're being held bound by some demonic force, look at your wife. Go grab some juice, some crackers. And say, God, I remember you according to Isaiah. You are a deliverer. You came to set the captive free. And watch freedom. So, we're about to take communion. If you had communion this morning, it's okay for you to have it again. Amen. And it'll be okay for you to have it this evening as well. So, take it, communion. Shake it up. Amen. So, that's it. You're open. Always shake your communion. I'm teaching you now. What you say? Say it, Jesus. Amen. You're troubling the waters. No, I'm playing. You're not troubling the waters. You're shaking. Make sure all of the residue and all of that. Now, what we're about to do is we're about to go to our private prayer closet, and we're going to ask God to forgive us of sins knowingly and unknowingly. Come on, pray. Pray. Yeah. He's faithful and just to forgive you of all your sins. Come on, pray. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus. For I have received of the Lord that which I also delivered unto you. I also pass unto you that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." You may partake of that bread. In the same manner, after he suffered, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." You may drink of that cup. Whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. So then, whoever eats this bread and drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty and sinning against the body and the blood of the Lord. Every man and woman, boy and girl, ought to examine themselves before they eat the bread and drink from the cup. For those who eat and drink without discerning the body of Christ, eat and drink judgment on themselves. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Somebody shout amen.
Amen.
Okay, you may take that cup, pass it down to your right, on my right, to your left side, pass it down to the center aisle. On my left side, you on my left, you pass it to the center aisle. Okay, to your purpose. You're here now, so you might as well go ahead and rest here. Right? So you don't have a church home, but look for a church home. And you felt the presence of God. And you would be honest to say, you know what? I really feel God's presence in this place. I want to be a part of what God is doing here. That's just going to be in there. Do it now. Do it now. I mean, I saw him. Yeah. Yeah. You have been under supportive ministry, supporting others and holding their hands. I see you as a model working, but you are Mary as well, a worshiper. And God is bringing you out of the place of just being a worker bee so that you can sit at his feet and worship. I break the spirit of abandonment and rejection off your life.
I go every morning.
Yeah, that's good.
I declare ill more of your life. The God who sees you in the moments that you have felt overlooked, he sees you. He sees you. He sees you. There's something burning in your belly, and you've been holding on to this thing with the fear that's crept in. There's such a fear. On your life, I break the spirit of fear off your life. And the muzzle is coming off. Your silence is not humility. I hear the Holy Ghost. It's fear. There are circles and arenas
that God has placed you in where you have grown solid because of the sake of the people around you. And you have something to apply to the conversation, but you just keep quiet. Yeah. You see a lot. Obviously, you say, that's me, I know. Yeah, you see a lot, but you don't say nothing. Well, I'm holding you to the carpet today and putting your feet to the fire. God's going to hold you accountable for every solid word that you have not spoken. So today I charge you, speak. 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 In the name of Jesus. Father, now in the name of Jesus, I release, Lord God, the prophet to the nations, God, what she has seen, she shall speak, God, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If that's you, you don't have a church to be. Come on, listen to the PC. I know where we celebrate. Everybody, hey, there it is. Come on. I believe there's one more that says to me today. Now, hear me, watch this. You say, well, I need another time to visit. You don't need no other time. Right? Now is your time. Now's your time. Watch. It's going to take more than one time anyway. Some of you felt it and you say it's now. But some of y'all, it's going to take 3-4 times. But watch this. Keep coming 3-4 weeks in succession. Don't come and go somewhere else and then come back. You're going to miss something in the middle. Maybe it was that next week you were supposed to come, but you went and visited somewhere else that the Holy Ghost wanted to speak to you then, but you went somewhere else. I can't find a place where I was speaking to you in this place.
Amen.
So I'm going to charge you for the next 3 weeks. Come every week for the next 3 weeks and see if the Spirit of God will speak to you. If he don't, then I'll usher you to a place myself. Amen. I need gas. Now, for members, that don't apply to you. Amen. Amen. All right. We good? Yes, he said, we good. He said, fair enough. Amen. Let's celebrate again those who have made decisions. Amen. Can you bring the microphone? Somebody bring that microphone. Just gently close us up and pray that for me. Amen. We got some powerful intercessors. Amen. I want to invite all you guys at 5:00 in the morning. Amen. Every morning. 7 days a week, somebody shout, my God. We're up 5:00 every morning praying for the state of Louisiana. Some of you are experiencing some of the benefits of those prayers right now. And we've been praying for the state since last year, September. September 9th or 10th, I believe it was. We've seen God manifest through these prayers. We've been praying that God will bring new industries and economic increase to the state. They're building a plant up in North Louisiana. The plant is going to be like $10 billion.
Yep.
Come on. We prayed that and it showed up. We prayed on that prayer line. Y'all don't leave me out there hanging. We prayed that on the literacy rate that we were moving from the bottom of the chart to the top of the chart, at least the top 10, and we moved up. Hallelujah.